Let's just bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Epiphany. It's a funny word, isn't it? Can you imagine trying to get children to say it with a Did you ever have to go through those things? My parents were very, very fussy about when you said your F's and when you said your TH's and when you said your PH's and what you were. So it's a funny word in the first place. But what does it mean? It's about revelation, having things opened up and revealed to us. And we have a time now between Epiphany, which we celebrated last Sunday, but actually really the time when the kings, we celebrate the kings coming on the 6th of September, up until the 2nd of February, when we have a chance to be saying, God, what are you going to show to me? What are you going to reveal to me? And our readings today, in different ways, show us different places that God might want to reveal to you and me God's love and God's grace. Sometimes perhaps reminding us a revelation isn't always something new, is it? It's somebody else saying something that we've always known, and yet it's sort of in our heads and not in our hearts. It hasn't made that step from our head to our hearts. So let's start with that beautiful on one level reading from Isaiah. It's actually quite a difficult reading too, because it suggests in some kind of way that Israel is more important to God than lots of other places. But actually, if we understand the system at the time of adoption, and when somebody has lost their husband or their wife or their owner, the way that you would be adopted would be that somebody who loved you would come and say, I'll take responsibility for you. And actually isn't saying anything about the other places. And here we have God saying to Israel, when they are separated from everything that they feel is home. They've been sent off to Assyria. They've been sent off at other times to Egypt, to Babylon. They wonder if God loves them. And God, in almost a motherly way, says, I created you. Don't be worried. I called you by name. When you pass through the waters, don't worry about it. They're not going to overwhelm you, for I love you and you're precious in my sight. The story of the Old Testament is an ever-widening story that starts with one particular individual, God saying, I'm going to bless you, but through you, I'm going to bless the whole world. And in Jesus, we get to the point where actually Israel begins to understand, or doesn't perhaps, that that means you and me, that that means absolutely everybody, that God created you and me. You know that beautiful psalm that talks about, Psalm 139, that talks about, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I love you. I wonder how many of us know that God loves us, because we know that God is love, and God is love, and God loves everybody. But does God like you? Do you know God does? God likes you. Even when you don't like yourself, God, in all God's love, looks at us and says, I'm there with you because you're precious in my sight. Perhaps God doesn't always like everything we think or say or do, but God likes us. You know, when you've made something, I don't know, maybe you haven't made anything for a long time, but you know when you've made something, particularly if you've made it for somebody else, you did pottery, and it's not perfect, but it's what you made, and you're proud of it. Actually, God loves you like that. The story carries on. We'll go back to Jesus in a minute, but the story carries on with that story in Acts, when in Samaria, the place where people from Israel thought that they'd got it all completely wrong, there they have become Christians. And I wonder, as I read this, if really the people who needed to see the Holy Spirit come to the people in Samaria were Peter and John, because they've heard that they're understanding it, but there's something missing. And so the Holy Spirit spreads. The Holy Spirit that we begun to understand better at Pentecost spreads out, and the people in Samaria discover. And the story goes on because Philip goes from there, because Philip is there in Samaria, on and meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Holy Spirit goes on through baptism to Africa, out into the world, to Europe, to us. And that takes us to that passage of Jesus being baptized by his cousin. A cousin who's come to say, actually, now is the time when you need to know whether you're in the pile of chaff or whether you're wheat. You need to get rid of all the junk. And John calls people to come and be baptized and repent. I wonder what you do when you think you need to repent. It worries me sometimes that what we do when we need to repent is look at ourselves and think of all the naughty things we've done, and spend an awful lot of time looking at ourselves. Whereas repent means to turn around. And I know I've said this to you before, so forgive me, but it just needs us to say it again. Repent means turning away from everything that isn't God and turning around, completely around, and turning to everything that is God. And asking God to transform us and change us. And so Jesus comes to be baptized. Jesus, who we believe had no sin. And Jesus comes, and in coming to be baptized, has that experience that Israel was having through Isaiah, where God says to Jesus, I'm pleased with you. I love you. And Jesus too experiences an experience of the Holy Spirit. If we are going to ask God to reveal to us something more of God's self, the first place to start, I believe, is to look in the mirror and say, God loves me. And then through that, to ask God to bless us with that wisdom and grace that the Holy Spirit gives us. To remind ourselves that we have been baptized, but that God time and time again refreshes us with the Holy Spirit, refills us, enables us to be the people that can walk through the deep waters, that can face the hard things that are there in our lives, that can cope with the pandemic, not because we're strong and brave, but because God is with us. But then from there, what other things will God reveal? This book is just the beginning. For the story of Epiphany, the story of God's revelation, carries on in each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, if we would only just open our eyes, turn towards God, and ask God to bless us. May God, this January, help us to stop looking at ourselves, either in disdain or despair, or in over self-worth, but rather looking at God and knowing that we were created with the possibility of being completely in God's image. Ask God to reveal first and foremost how beautiful you are. Amen.